One media group writes this: with midterm elections right around the corner, voters are being granted the opportunity to use their voice and weigh in on major domestic issues. One of those issues to consider is crime. We're going to talk about this right now with GOP analyst Midge Vindenberg. That's Maggie Vindenberg, conservative activist, and also Daniel McCarthy, former Arizona Republican U.S. Senate candidate and also businessman. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Points, and both Maggie and Daniel, we welcome you to the program. I hope I didn't butcher your names or anything. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having us.
Okay, crime is skyrocketing, but just as a starting point, there are at least 70 district attorneys, prosecutors, etc., where George Soros and others on the left have poured in lots of money so these people get their jobs. And in many cases, they let criminals go off, get out of jail for free or whatever. And they often just go back, on the streets and commit more crimes. This has got to stop, this crime and no punishment. How about a global statement from either of you or both of you?
I guess I'll sort of kick this off. You know, I grew up in California, and California used to be a very conservative state when I was a child, and I just watched it go further and further to the left. And one of the things that really contributed to the overall decline of that beautiful state is seeing these radical far left district attorneys get into power and basically decriminalize almost everything. I mean, they call it quality of life crimes, but we saw this absolutely destroy beautiful cities like San Francisco and Los Angeles, which I was fortunate enough to get to live into both of those cities for a part of my life. And it's absolutely horrible. And we saw recently, you know, in San Francisco, they were actually able to recall the far left district attorney there, Chesa Boudin, because the people they've had enough. And so seeing this happen with these Soros-funded district attorneys in all of these, you know, beautiful cities and states, I think people are finally waking up, even Democrats are waking up, that this has gone far enough and we have to do something to sort of, just stop this everything that's going on, because it's becoming absolutely horrible, from the drug deaths to just the petty crime. These cities have become absolutely unlivable.
You know, let me just say this, as somebody who has visited San Francisco, and at one point my son even lived there for about 4 or 5 years, and he saw it just go down, 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 down. But when you walk around, not only are you accosted by many people, you know, beggars, but sometimes they're hostile and so forth, but you see lots of syringes all over the place. It's crazy.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I think to Maggie's point, what we're dealing with is a crime epidemic that involves our federal government, our state governments, our local city governments. And as a result of that, you have trickle down crime on the street level, which results into hundreds of thousands of deaths now, including fentanyl, heroin. I mean, and this is truly the crime of the century when you think of it, because it's our own government in a lot of ways working against the American people and against our society as we've known it. I mean, Jerry, you know that this is not anything that's not predictable based on a whole generation of people turning their back against God, turning their back against what made this country great. So unfortunately, I think in some sense, we're kind of reaping what we've sowed. And, you know, I hope that very soon, I really truly believe this too, is that very soon we're going to be able to either win this in such a way where, we kind of take back control of our society, or, you know, we continue to see a decay that we've never seen before, at least in modern history. So,
well, we know that these big cities like Philadelphia, New York City, Los Angeles, they have these liberal, Chicago, they have these liberal, attorneys and so forth that I was mentioning earlier, the Soros funded, as you say. It's just incredible, because basically, I don't know how many murders it's going to take until somebody says, okay, enough is enough. That example that you gave of the fellow being recalled in San Francisco, I mean, that was clearly a step in the right direction. But there's only, you know, Florida and Texas and a few of the states in the flyover territory or whatever, where they're holding the line. But I, you know, How many residents can leave New Jersey or New York or Philadelphia and come down to Florida and or come to Texas? In fact, I was just talking this morning with somebody who was saying, boy, the price of houses in Florida, it's just skyrocketing these days. You know, it's just it's crazy.
Jerry, I can speak to this intimately because my family all migrated, mass migrated from New York to Arizona. When we came to Arizona roughly 20 years ago, it was a result of New York state policies that had crippled the economy. The welfare state had taken over, and the crime, you know, was just starting to get to the point to where it was unlivable. And now in Arizona, we're dealing with the same type of thinking that started to kind of penetrate in both parties, by the way, and it's so corrupt. And I think Maggie and I both, obviously, we spend the vast majority of our time focused in on election reform for that reason. That's why we're so focused on election reform, is because we know that in order for us to actually get substantial change in terms of the crime that's happening in our country, we've got to make sure we have authentic leaders, servant leaders, real leaders inside of every branch, every position in the government. So, you know, that's the good news, is that there is a way to fix this. I think Maggie can talk to also that particular bill that we ran, because it was very successful here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so a lot of people, I think after the last election, we did a tremendous amount of polling to see what it was that people wanted to see in terms of election reform. And it really came down to some basic principles that the vast majority of the public agreed they wanted to see happen, which is going back to one day of voting, going back to paper ballots, getting rid of the mail-in ballots, getting rid of sort of electronic voting machines. And so we wrote this bill, the One Day, One Vote bill, HB 2289 here in Arizona, to actually fix our elections. And we pushed this over the past 2 years, and we were able to get it pretty far along. But unfortunately, it got killed by, you know, Republicans, you know, these rhinos, these fake conservatives, who in large part are out there advocating for election reform, or they're out campaigning, they're saying the right thing, but then when it comes down to putting a vote or sticking their neck out to actually do the right thing, a lot of them cowered. And so we've got this system of these politicians that are either corrupt, or they're paid off by someone, or they're part of a system where they're in on it, and they don't want to actually fix the problem. So, you know, with Daniel and I, everything always comes back to, if we want to fix these problems, we've got to have real, true election reform in this country. And so that's been our primary focus over the past 2 years, and our primary passion, as far as it goes for political solutions.
Okay. How about a comment about voter ID laws, or also cleaning up the voter rolls?
Yes, that was actually part of our bill as well. It was kind of a massive overhaul, a voting overhaul. But yeah, we had voter ID included in that bill as well. And yeah, these voter rolls, this is part of the big problem, is you've got, you know, they're mailing out ballots to every single person on the voter rolls. And, you know, I came from Los Angeles. I think in LA County, they're sending out 30% more ballots than even to the people that live there. And you have to wonder, like, well, how often are they cleaning these voter rolls? You know, people move around all the time in Los Angeles. So, and if every time you move around, you're signing up, you know, to vote, then they've got a lot of people on there who have either moved or don't live there anymore, people that are deceased. And you end up with this massive amount of ballots floating around. And that is a system that is just rampant possibilities for fraud to occur.
Well, it's interesting. We started this conversation about the issue of crime, and in a very real sense, voter fraud is a crime.
That's the irony. Absolutely. It's the biggest crime of the century. Taking away freedom from the American people. That's what taking away voting is. You legitimately de-freedom this country. And that's something that none of us want to tolerate. I think that if we can rally everybody, anybody in your audience, everybody around the country, if we can rally everybody around the idea that if we want to fix our country's problems, we have to first fix who is actually making the decisions. And ultimately, it all, I think, comes back to that, Jerry, and it's quite a shame to see what's happening in our country. I think you could speak to this. What has happened over the past 30 years in every major metropolitan city? Think about it. Phoenix, Arizona, when I came to this state 20 years ago, there was no even consideration of the homeless population, of the drug losses or any of those things. But we have a Democrat mayor here in Phoenix, and she's one of the worst liberals you'll ever come in contact with. She's a communist. And that's not just in Phoenix. That's all across the country. We're watching this. So I think personally that at some point, you know, all of us have to say, okay, let's rally around fixing our elections state by state. You know, every state legislator has to do what's right in their state, what's right for their population. But let's start working in every state to make sure that we fix the process of picking our representation.
All right. Now, one area where some people, even conservatives, might disagree on what you mentioned earlier in this discussion is they might say that, hey, the early voting actually makes it more convenient to participate if it's within reason. What's wrong with going beyond just one day of voting, you know, as long as it's prior to or up through the day of election and not beyond?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. It's what we discovered in terms of examining the 2020 elections, and a little context for your listeners as well as my background. Obviously, I was involved with the primary in 2020. I was a candidate for office, and I was one of two Republicans. So we witnessed firsthand what and how fraud could be committed. One of the things that we found, Jerry, was the amount of time that you have for fraud to take place, the larger probability that fraud will take place. So for instance, if you have a 5-day voting period, obviously, you're going to have less potential for fraud than you will with a 30-day voting period. And the sacrifice of convenience by making it a one day, what that does is it basically ensures that the window of time to produce the fraud that could be produced can't be produced. You can do a one day of voting like we used to do in this country, so long that you systematically set up the voting systems to be prepared for that process. It's more of a math problem. So believe it or not, it can be just as convenient for everybody because everybody takes the day off of work. Everybody knows that, hey, on this day, everybody needs to show up and vote. And if you can't show up to vote, and if you have a true need for an absentee ballot, let's say you're disabled or you're military overseas, obviously there should be some mechanisms in place so you can vote, because we can't limit those individuals from voting. But for the vast majority of the population, everybody knows that less time means less potential fraud. And that's why that was a lot of communication that went into that with people that thought similar to what you just said, because it's true. I mean, you have to consider all these potential things. But we're confident that that's the best way to do it, I think, to make sure 100% secure elections.
But but what about the idea of what you said, the 5-day of voting allowed, you know, through the day of election?
Yeah, again, I think it boils down to just how how important is freedom to everybody? And if one day of voting is something that people just can't vote, if they can't schedule a time to go out there and pick their representative, frankly, is that somebody that you want to vote?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
I mean to be rude about it. I've said this before. This isn't the first time I've said this. But the reality of it is we can't worry about anyone's emotions anymore when it comes to election security. These are people that have now masked us. These people forced us into masks. They forced us to take vaccines. They forced us to do things that we've never seen the American people do. So now it's like the only way to ensure that we are truly picking our representation is a one day of voting. Now, granted, again, state by state, it's not like you can wave a magic wand and like, right, this is what it is. These type of discussions have to happen everywhere. Sure.
Okay, so we have 30 seconds left. If there's a website you want to plug, but also if anybody wants to make a comment about defunding the police.
Well, first of all, let me just plug the PAC that we work with is the Patriot Party of Arizona, and they have a website which is stoptherhinos.com. That's RINOS, like Republicans in name only. So stoptherhinos.com if your audience is interested in some of the work that we've been doing out here in Arizona. And as far as defund the police?
Yeah, I think only constitutional police should be funded. Any constitutional police, unconstitutional police force, frankly, could be used by the left just the same as the right, and they shouldn't be in power. So that's the reality of the world.
All right, Daniel McCarthy and Maggie Vandenberg, thank you so much, thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry.